It's April 2nd, 2005. My name is Lindsay Marie Bell, and I'm interviewing World War II veteran Roy Flott. Roy, where were you born?
I was born in Bighorn County, and my address is Iron Springs Road, Box 165, Bighorn, Montana. And I'm living in the house that I was born in.
Wow. Could you tell me what your life was like before the war?
Well, jobs were pretty hard to find then, but it seemed like I went through grade school, and my teacher is still a living in Billings.
Wow, that's exciting.
Alberta Romine, they're in, since it's 94.
Okay.
Anyway, jobs were hard to find, and I don't know how. I always managed, from the day on 14, I bought all my clothes and everything. But I always managed to have a job, somehow. People got me to help do this, do that, drive cattle to market, and whatever, and I was doing that when I was called into service.
Okay. What did your family do before you entered the war?
My dad was a farmer, and how we survived, I don't know. I never starved. We always had a good meal on the table. How they raised feed for the milk cows, the pigs and chickens, whatever. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I just think back and I don't know. But anyhow, that's where I was when I was called into the service. I was working for these people down in Bighorn, but they ain't been home. And I was helping his son build dams for the government with horses, Fresno. Got through and I said, well, I'll work for my board. And he said, if you ain't worth $30 a month, you ain't worth nothing. And me and him got along like peas and pod. Anyway, then I got the notice of the draft, and I went to Mastita, a little post office somewhere, and registered, and that's where I signed up, and then I wasn't very long. I was called.
Okay. Were you single or married before?
Single.
You were single. Okay. Did you have any feelings toward the war before you were drafted? Did you have any certain?
No, I didn't.
No?
No, I didn't. I had friends was in World War I, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had a neighbor there, he was in World War I.
Okay.
But outside of that, I was no military connected, no way.
Okay. Could I ask you where you were when you found out that Pearl Harbor was attacked? Do you remember that day?
I was been in the service pretty near a year. I went in February, and that was in December.
Mm-hmm.
We'd done maneuvers down south and come back to Fort Knox. We was going to get a furlough, all of us.
Okay.
When Pearl Harbor was bombed, all furloughs were canceled.
Okay.
So, we went on field rations, and I don't know, they went an angle around, and I think, I don't know how long, and then we got passes.
Okay.
I got to come home. And I believe it was during Christmas time, yes.
Okay, so you were drafted before Pearl Harbor?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I had pretty near a year in.
Okay, you'd had a year in already. Wow. Okay. How did you feel about being drafted?
Well, I don't know. It is all new to me. You know, mm-hmm. Not no service connection, no nothing. And You see, a lot of the boys were, I never got in, but a lot of them are in the three C's. I don't know if you ever heard of that or not.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was what you'd call, I don't know, community work.
Mm-hmm.
How Roosevelt thought all these things up, I don't know. But a lot of kids, you know, that they come out here and worked in the park. Where the three C's were shoveled in wheelbarrows. And that was better than nothing.
Okay.
And So, you know, that was the thing to do.
Okay. How many people from your community were drafted when you were? Do you?
Well, I'd say probably a dozen, but I shouldn't say this. But it depends on who you were. Now, a lot of people were better off. Their sons didn't grow up.
Mm-hmm.
They had the money to send them to college.
Yep.
And if you got married, you were exempt. Your wife was pregnant, you were exempt. And there's a lot of you hid behind skirts.
Mm-hmm.
I had some neighbors done that.
Yes, I understand. What was your family's reaction to you being drafted?
Well, they thought I was doing the right thing.
Okay. Where did you do your basic training?
In Fort Knox, I was drafted from Santa Missoula. That's where I was inducted in the service. And then I went to Fort Lewis, Washington.
Okay.
And then they decided I like drive tanks, they sent me to Fort Knox, Kentucky. Back there where all the gold was.
Mm.
And I stayed there. Well, after Pearl Harbor, come back, I was a stranger in my company. Because we wasn't full force before that. And then we got all these replacements in there when I was like, you know, stranger, and I was taking them out, these younger ones, giving driving instructions. And I said to this sergeant, I said, you know, I'm giving driving instruction. I ain't even a qualified driver. Get in the tank, let's go for a ride. Get you qualified. So that's what I did, and it was in the brick barracks. The next summer we went on maneuver. When we went down to Louisiana, Mississippi, and back to the Carolinas, back to Fort Knox.
Mm-hmm.
And we stayed there quite a while. Then they sent us to Fort Dix, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And our company, we had to shuffle a lot of vehicles to New York. That is the first time I drove 50 miles an hour in bumper traffic.
Okay.
You know, I wasn't used to traffic living out in the hills in them days. But we'd haul, take them up there, but we didn't take the tanks. They put them on a freight car and haul them.
Okay.
But then our company, personal company, got D company, got to stay back. And we shuffled outfits to New York, and we had more fun than the Barrel of Monkeys. The Holland Tunnel, I don't know if you ever heard of that.
Uh-uh.
Well, that was way back, but we'd go down there. And half tracks and everything, about half, everybody's about half loop at the time. And get in the truck and they bring us back and then drive another bunch down. We had to cross a ferry and it was downhill. And then the ferry guys, it was the devil, we went off in the drink. We come down that and they're just doing everything. We slam on the bank and wham, wham, wham.
So is this during basic training, or is this at?
After basic training.
Right after.
We're in a company now.
Okay.
And I'll tell you one. The leftist general, Taylor, I believe his name was, a nice guy. He gave us passes after we got everything held in New York. All of a sudden, they got emergency call. Fall out, line up. And a lot of them went home. They went down to their placement center, blew the whistle. Fall out. You get on that truck. Where are we going? Well, I got bad news for you. We're going on a long trip. What do you mean, long trip? We're headed for New York Harbor right now. And they didn't let them get nothing. You always had a, what we called it, like your shoulder backpack. Or you carried our personal stuff, writing paper, and shorts, like t-shirts. And anyway, well, they didn't say nothing. And I said, well, we had to have our quota.
Mm-hmm.
So many men.
Mm-hmm.
And this, the colonel, I believe, was Taylor. And anyway, we had to go over the full number.
Mm-hmm.
So we got up there and crawled on a boat. Sea train, Texas. And we looked back, and that was the only time I seen the Liberty. Whatever you call that now?
The Statue of Liberty.
Statue of Liberty. And that afternoon, we were out on the water. And we took a northern route. We went by Iceland. First night was Halifax, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And then on we took the northern route. And then we, Iceland. And we had to wear a parka and pull guard right alongside the soldiers. We didn't have nothing else to do. And we ended up over in Ireland. I can't tell you the date. That's a bad part. But we got there in June, and they said they found that the song without Johnny Doughboy in Ireland. But you know what? We didn't say no roses because they didn't let them out. Anyway, we was there so long. And then we were sent to England. It was getting wintertime then, and fog, you never seen fog. That's just the way it is, you know. It seemed like every day. And I talk about women. You know, I swear half of the soldiers, the Englishmen, were killed off. They were women who were doing the work of men.
Mm-hmm.
In the factories and everything. So we were in England, and they said we were going to, I'll have to back up a way. Before I left Fort Knox,
mm-hmm.
I was a technician, fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed that way, all through service. They offered me sergeant, but it was no more pay and more responsibility, and I drove tank all the time I was in the service.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, then we headed for Africa. And off the coast of France, we hit the damnest storm you ever seen. Maybe I shouldn't have put that in.
That's so, no. Nope.
But anyway,
they
were seasick. I talk about seasick. And you know, we was getting English ration. Was a lot of boiled soup or fish. And I don't know what, but we used to, well, a bunch of us up on deck. We weren't supposed to be on deck. Well, God, you had to have some fresh air. Down below, it was just, I don't know how many thousand were on that boat. And we ended up the Rock Gibraltar.
Mm-hmm.
And the water was still down there, and the first thing done was one ship got torpedoed. Well, there wasn't no sinking, but it was, or they was going all getting on one ship before this goes down, and the water got, the old ship went in the water a little deeper.
Oh, wow. Okay, and this is, I assume this is the great danger the general put you in. It's noted right here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, then, well, we was down at, I got a part in there that's kind of blank, I think. What was I at the last?
We were talking about Africa.
Yeah. Well, we went into, we was kind of backing up other ones all the time. Mm-hmm. It seemed like we was moving every night, somewhere, someplace. And then we were going to be the point.
Mm-hmm.
And some partner, I can't seem to get. But anyway, this Colonel Alger, I liked him. He was, and all from, we left the state, while he was in charge of it.
Mm-hmm.
And tall, a military man. And he went to this meeting, and the word that it was never put out nowhere else, but it was come back to the company.
Mm-hmm.
That it was suicide. And he told that, that's what he told the general. But he said, I won't go send my men nowhere I wouldn't go. So the next morning, I'm supposed to be number one.
Mm-hmm.
And I head out where with bivouac. He pulls in front of me. Well, he should have never been in the tank. He should have been back where we could call for anything, artillery, whatever. And so he pulled out in front of me, and Major Emery behind him. Well, it wasn't too long. I blew a motor, and I had a two-way platoon sergeant's tank, two-way radio. We could hear everything going on, and you can see tanks are burning everywhere. We had a ringside seat, really. And there was one tank come up late that afternoon, and something wrong with clutch. And so what am I doing? Well, 54 burning, one more ain't gonna help.
Mm-hmm.
And finally hooked onto me, and turned around, pulled me back. And some light German tanks come, and we turned our stabilizers on and kept them. And we started firing them and running behind some sand dunes. And then it got dark, and all we could see was tanks are burning here and there. And the next morning, we had 20-some men out of 140. There wasn't an officer in the bunch. So, before we went into combat,
mm-hmm.
we threw our bedrolls off. We had a good bedroll. I stole them. Had some bed blankets mm-hmm. off of them. So I thought I was really smart. Anyway, we threw them off and left two guys to guard them. We never seen them or our bedrooms again. We finally got a hold of a tarp, and it was frosting that night, pretty darn cold. This was in northern Africa. And so we retreated and retreated. And finally got a motor in my tank. And then we took all the second armor to replenish the first armor.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the first armor division. And we, mostly northern, we went from northern to southern. I had to learn to talk to you all and all of that. How you tote and how you pack. I got that sort of all out. But then, I come to commander, got burnt the first time in combat, and this other fella, he knew how to get out of there, and he said, well, this fella was your tank run. See, he took a deck hit from the bomb on the turret, and he didn't know, and he said, cry, and he did, he got out and never seen him again. Then when we regrouped with the second armored, we got another company commander. And he was a good man. A good man, smart. Nobody told him anything that he didn't know. And he managed to look, he looked out for his men. And his call sign was Bulldog, and he had a bulldog jaw. And that, he packed that to all the time he was ever with us. And when I left to come home, well, let's see. When I left out, we left. We finished up with Africa,
mm-hmm.
in Tunis. That's where they give up, parked all their vehicles, Germans.
The Germans, okay.
And then I don't know, we didn't do much for a while there, and went down the beach, went swimming, whatever. I never did learn to swim. And then they took us over to, we went across to Italy. And we took me stop for a minute.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of...
So Germans were put in prison camps?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, they ended up over here.
They did?
Yeah.
Wow.
They was over here helping Horn Beats when the war was still going on.
The prisoners were?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
You go down to Harden and ask some of them old beet farmers or something, you remember anything about German? Yeah, they right out, and this one German said, Horn Beat Row, and he said, Hitler didn't say anything about going down to Beat Row. He promised me he was going to get the United States, but he didn't say he was going to get the I was going to be home beat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they was, I don't know, they had a place there in Harden and somewhere out there they kept them.
Wow.
And, they was happy as a lark.
So they were treated well?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's... Yeah, they worked in garages.
Let's see. Could you tell me about any honors you received? Did some papers.
Oh, get my discharge papers. That's got all of that on it.
Okay.
Let me look at it a minute, will you?
Okay, so for honors, you received the Good Conduct Medal, a Purple Heart, okay, and you didn't receive any wounds?
That is, I've got a thing going on that. See right here?
Mm-hmm. Yes, a mark below your eye.
Well, see, I said I didn't get a wound. Well, I did. And I'm still got a, let's say the word down, I'll see him over here next week. But that is questionable, you know, but I did have a wound. They give you a Purple Heart. They didn't give nobody a Purple Heart unless they had a wound.
Okay.
I'm trying to how to work this in there and get ahead of myself. Damn it, I'm trying to raise a blank in there.
Could I ask you how you were wounded?
Will that be all right? Can we back up and...
Sure, we can do
okay.
That.
Okay. I'll tell you about this. The lieutenant's tank went bad, so he took mine. Well, I was just riding around with the extra, you know, crew.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one morning, this one kid, he was a hell of a nice kid, too. But he just got shell shocked. He got to him.
Mm-hmm.
He was so nervous, he was driving everybody crazy. Well, Dana said, I need a replacement. Oh, the first heart, that's a bunch of Maloney, you know. Well, the officer stepped up and said, that ain't. He's going to get a replacement. Who do you want? He said, I want that guy right there. That's me. So, this crew was nothing I had against him, you know. But one particular, he was a screwball. So, and you couldn't believe a word he said. He was always bragging. You thought he was a millionaire, and I know he wasn't. Well, anyway, that evening before, this sergeant, that sergeant, I left the stage with a very good friend about sundown, just getting dark. A German sniper that we had on. A tank commander couldn't get right down, just barely, now he never buttoned up tight. And took his head off. Well, he had been drinking pretty bad. And he had this feeling that he would never go home. He never drank, or he never cheated on his wife, he never done nothing. And he was a military man. He was retired, and he kept crying on my shoulders, you know, and everybody else, they kind of teed off him, you know. But I could get what I wanted through him, and he done me a lot of good. Anyway, he was killed that night. And I was an oddball, so I'm number one. Well, you can't believe what them engineers done. Them Germans blew the side of the hill down. Everything else stopped. You couldn't get around it, evidently. I was following them. They detonated loads of dynamite, or explosive, rather, along the road, and then they did unfuse that in the dark. You tell me they weren't good. And we caught up with them Germans the next morning about daylight. And they crawled in the culvert, went to sleep, but we'd miss them. We didn't. Well, that afternoon, we got our objective. And, we were supporting infantry. And so they said go on to a crossroad. But we didn't have any maps. We miscalculated the crossroad. It was a little old trail down behind the barn.
Mm-hmm.
But we thought it was a main highway. And this one ahead of me, he was a sergeant. He wouldn't do nothing without orders. And anyway, we come around this bend. Oh, and we was out of them and putting around ammunition. And if we would have been the right spot, it wouldn't have been no trouble. But we went on beyond. We knew there was another road. and went around this bend, and this German fired, and he didn't have a big gun. 88 shot right through us and out the other side. That 88 at 1 mile could outshoot our 75, poke a hole right through our tank and out the other side, and we could point blank, couldn't puncture there. Well, you know what odds we would do. But anyway, we pretty well schooled, and we got, and now, so the only gun was in my tank was working was the assistant driver. Well, this other fellow should have been using his. I don't know why he didn't, but you had to tell him. And anyway, I said to this assistant driver, "Give me that 30 caliber because it wasn't working." Well, he did not clear the gun. That's no, you're supposed to do that, whatever. Anyway, it went off in the tank. And that's where I got this.
Okay.
And all that orange from the back of my face. And I got the first aid station, and I got a Purple Heart before I asked me what was wrong. And then they took me back when I got x-rayed. Since I felt like my eye was injured.
Mm-hmm.
It was more, you know, and bleeding and this and that, and shrapnel in it. But they don't say a wound, see?
Okay.
But I had a Purple Heart, you know. And,
okay.
And then I stayed in the hospital, or went back to a field hospital. And I caught a ride back from the company in a few days. Can you shut that off for a minute? Pemmadine. Got ahead of myself there somewhere.
Would you like me to ask a question, McKenna?
Well, you got to shut off now. Come back. Anyway, we were in Italy, and we were pushing the Germans pretty strong there for a while, because they left. Sometimes they left the table with meals on them. And but we went on the Anvil Beach here, and there was no resistance of any kind at the first. We didn't have enough troops to hold it. I don't know why. The Salerno deal, that was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
That was up way up there. You heard monastery? It was a great big monastery, and they wouldn't bomb it. Well, the Germans really didn't use it, but they had the darnest fortifications you ever seen. We bombed, we shelled, and the infantry was up there. They had to pack them off. It was the cold. We spent the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And we were down lower on the Anvil Beachhead, but them poor devils up there, and they said they had to pack them off and stretch. They were just so near frozen. They had to pull them there, you know, as a machine gunner's protection, you know, and holding the line. And we went on that Anvil Beachhead, and there was no resistance of any kind. And we didn't have nothing. Germans kept building up. Well, we kept building up. And finally the Germans said, "Well, I think we'll just push you off of them." And we was firing, it was artillery, 75 guns on the tank.
Mm-hmm.
And they threw everything in the kitchen sink at us. Our infantry were getting just slaughtered. And one guy, he said, on the radio, he said, "Far on my position." This is the artillery director, because they were getting close.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't get her done. she doesn't get her done. So we stayed there, turned into winter, and we was on that annual beachhead, and they flew over and put pamphlets out, self-supporting prison camp, all this and that. But we got some big artillery, and we was right next to a forest, planted trees, big trees. And we had to be dug in. I don't know where we got the stuff to cover up or anything, but we did. We kicked these little personnel bombs out. Well, then, one of them bumps, and showed a picture. And you know, they always had this rumor that it was safer on the front than it was in the hospital. There's a picture in one of the books. I don't know if you looked at them or not. But,
Wanda.
Not. Oh. Yeah, wait a minute. I didn't put the lieutenant in there, I wanted to kill. He wanted to get me right there. That's the nurse's question.
Oh, the nurses, okay.
See that this crater right there?
Mm-hmm.
This woman this summer was back in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
She was telling about that. I didn't realize that where we were at, nothing that wasn't that bad. But they couldn't put the tents up on the trees, so they wouldn't be able to see that cross on them. But then Germans shelled the hospital. See that there?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big crater there somewhere. And she said a shell come in and killed Pertner, they were in surgery. Killed Pertner, everyone. The only way they could recognize them was the shoes they had on.
The Heroes of Anzio.
Is that what it said?
Yes. Wow.
Boy, I didn't ever really realize there was anything that, you know, we always heard it. But look at that nurse. You'd have to take your hat off to them.
Oh, yes. Wow. That's interesting.
But, we were there, oh my God, I don't know. This is in the winter. And it rained a lot, even snowed. But we went on the next spring, and we started in, like in the morning, and had this one kid that come in the replacement. And I had this one guy in the crew who was working. So I told the sergeant, and I told him about had a breathing problem. I said, I'd like to get a replacement. One morning they got him in, and said, we'll pick out one. And I picked out this nice kid. And I really liked him, and after I got him in, you know, he was a good kid, good worker. And he has always asked me about everything, and I asked him, well, which were the parts men and boy. And, so he was this and that. Well, we was firing his artillery, and we had to go back and relieve these other fellas, and we just took where they were dug in at. So happens I'm right where all the telephone, and I didn't have to get up the fire, see, because I was always a driver. I was either that or tank commander, and so we changed, and I told that lieutenant, I said, and he said, yeah, I'll change places. So we changed places. I don't know, along the night, the shell went into late action. Mm-hmm. Went on the ground about 6 foot and then exploded. Then, Larry DeMone and this one, I don't know who it was, he started praying or something, when they come up through the gut, cut out. He had a heck of a time digging that lieutenant up. We saved him all.
Oh, wow.
But he was laying in a sleeping bag with all that dirt on him. Them kids said, "You son of a gun, you, the next time you move, you tell me." Why? I said, "I can't let you in on all those secrets."
Oh, wow.
But we stayed on the Danube Beach yet. I can't say just how long. You know, there's some pretty bad. The nerve was supposed to be red for us, you know, and bigger.
Yes. So were you in Italy when the war ended, or where, is that where you were last?
Yes, I was. Anyway, we moved out of Angel Beachhead while we got us in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Now then the artillery started firing like pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And one come this way, and this way, about a mile. And then you couldn't hardly drive across that. I'll tell you what, them Germans pretty badly shook out. We went all over nothing. We lost people, yes. There was still some anti-tank guns. That, you know, and all of them made fun of the tanker, because if you was hit, 9 times out of 10, you didn't have a chance to get out. Because it, we had magazines with Crestone around them with the guns going in and this and that, but all that high-octane gasoline, there wasn't a chance. You might even get out of the turret, but it was so hot it just cooked me. But I was just very fortunate. But anyway, we got out of that Angel Beachhead, and we took Rome. I don't know, now we stopped for something, and the infantry was with us. They were riding on the tanks and everything, because we were traveling too fast. And they wanted them sub-Tommies, and they had rifles. Well, sub-Tommies are a thing to go house to house combat. Well, we went in Rome, and I don't know, maybe there was a shot fired, but everything was in contact. First thing we know, our antenna was hitting these trolley lines. We had to tie them down. And I slept on right across from a big Catholic, what do you call it, monastery, you know? I don't know what it would be.
Cathedral church?
Yes.
Okay.
And where the nuns were at. And they come on the Tiger River or something like that.
Tigers?
No, yeah.
That, I don't know.
And I slept right there, where we, that's where we parked that night, did we? And the nun come over and talked to us and everything. And then we went on and started going in up the boot. And but we went by the Leaning Tower. What the devil was that river there? There was a river there, and we had to wait for the engineers to build a bridge.
I don't know my geography very well, so.
I was thinking the Tiger River, it may not have been.
It might be.
But I know that one morning we had a platoon sergeant and his tank. Germans, they shot through it, but it didn't blow up or anything. And I said, that old shell was a little red hot when she went through. Anyway, we went down there, and engineers, and we got down there, and the hell, I went in the house. We was not supposed to take anything. And I went in, and there was a bed made and everything. It was pretty hot, and I lay down. Kind of went to sleep, and then somebody scared the hell out of me. I thought the Germans had me. Anyway, we got over across the river, the Leaning Tower. It was a leaning then. Still is, I guess.
Exactly.
But turning on. Does that keep running?
Mm-hmm. you like me to stop it for a moment?
No. That was a nice town, wasn't it? Here's where we landed, and we went clean down. Then there was the Kasserine Pass.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we got into it the worst. Right in all of this through here.
Tunisia and Algeria.
Then they give up over here. Where the devil is Tunis at?
Right there. There's Tunis.
Okay, that's where the Germans ended up, and that's where they surrendered to.
Okay.
When we left North Africa.
Okay.
And there was vehicle parked for, oh God, you couldn't believe, rolls and rolls, and always wondering what happened to them.
Wow.
Some people got lots of scrap on them.
So it was those Germans that got sent here?
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
But, kind of following things up. The Italians, see, when we left North Africa, the Italians were fighting the rear guard.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime they got a chance to give up, they did. They did.
Really?
And see, when we got into Italy, we were all we had was Germans then. But no, every time they got a chance to give up, they did. And they knew what the score was. And I don't know how we fed all of them, you know. They did. Somebody had to feed them.
Mm-hmm.
But, That is Montgomery there. He was the English general.
Okay.
He didn't think too much. Then when we was in on that city we've said, Kasserine Pass, whatever. That's where we was first got wiped out. He said the Americans wasn't too good, you know. So we showed him at the last who was who. But our artillery, you know, we got a company commander. When we got the first time, and we took all the men from the Second Army, we got a company commander named Captain Holden. I told you about his bulldog jaw.
Mm-hmm. What was his name? His real name?
Holdeman.
Okay.
Okay. He was not a yes sir man.
No.
Nope.